Letters are fun things to get, even with the email, Snapchat, other social media things. You get that handwritten note, you know, it's a big deal. Imagine you get a letter from a very famous Christian leader. Let's say Billy Graham writes to you personally, signs it Billy Graham. I mean, he wants to pass on something to you from his heart to yours. And the headline that he puts on the top of the letter is, "Hold firmly to this foundation for Jesus' character formed in you." You just break that down a little bit, something. Hey, hold on to this news I'm about to tell you. Jesus' character is being formed in you. That's something we desire as believers. And our first response would be, oh, fantastic, I got this letter from Billy Graham. Better yet, from the Apostle Paul. Better yet, from God. Through the Apostle Paul to you and I and to the church at Corinth. And we'd probably say, well, he's looking over my shoulder because he knows I need to have Christ's character formed in me, who he was in terms of his love, his strength, his holiness, those things that he'd pass on to us. And so these two deep needs, his character in us and our need for a foundation, is addressed in not Billy Graham's letter to you, but Paul, the Lord's letter to you from Corinthians. And Corinthians have daily problems. They're just like us. And sometimes even more troubled. You'd say, what's your spiritual pain level? On a scale of 0 to 10, they'd probably say 8. 8 is my spiritual pain level if I'm living in Corinthians or maybe a Christian today. I got troubles and I got worries. And the Christians there, they had troubles in marriage, troubles in morality, troubles in lawsuits. When they gathered, they had troubles in worship, troubles at communion, troubles in unity. Good old Scott Reichert said they did everything wrong when he preached about that last week and how true it is. And so but these Christians are sincere. They want to do everything right. You know, they are a spiritually attuned kind of folk. And so they go after some things and start to focus on some parts of the Christian life that they think this must be the key in terms of getting Jesus' character formed in us and growth and foundation. One thing they do is they seek wisdom. They say, because the Greeks at that time sought wisdom. If I could just think the right way, if I could just get a wisdom through my intellectual pursuits and things like that, I'm going to be good. If I go deep, maybe my character will be deep. And that was their thought. But that didn't help them. Okay, and Paul steered them away from that. He said, that's not going to be your foundation. They said, well, how about miracles? We desperately need God to do miracles today. Not a week goes by, I don't pray for a miracle, you know, for somebody who's in great need. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I mean, he's ready. Often if I pray, I hear God say, wait, or keep talking to me about the person. But they sought miracles. But that wasn't going to be the foundation. They sought spiritual gifts. They thought, if I just get this spiritual gift, this particular spiritual gift, I'm going to take off like a Christian rocket. And everything will be all right. You know, they took off as a rocket, all right, but it was like a North Korean rocket, okay? Plop, right into the ocean. So they often thought, what in the world can I do? What in the world can I do to have Jesus' character formed in me and to have a great foundation? One Bible introduction said this, Corinthians, this letter that you received, you and I received, has to do with progressive sanctification and conduct problems. The phrase progressive sanctification simply means Jesus' character formed more and more in us, living like a Christian, something we all want to do. So the letter is a focus on that from beginning to end. And what does Paul point the folks to on a regular basis throughout the letter and here in 1 Corinthians 13? Surprisingly, he points them to Jesus crucified and risen. That great work that the Lord has done on their behalf. It's really a focus on the strength of Christ and his accomplishment for them. And Paul would say to another church in Rome, hey, this gospel, this good news, about Jesus' death and resurrection is the power of God for the salvation of everybody who believes. And that righteousness that he'd give you is known from trust to trust, that is faith to faith. You just keep trusting the Lord, and he's going to be your foundation, what he's done. Here's some parts of the passage. I remind you the good news, the gospel. You received. So they heard of Jesus. They said, I trust you, Lord, with my heart, as much as I trust, as much as I know how. God helps them with that. And he says, hey, you have taken your stand on that. So it's at the beginning. They're still trusting Jesus and what he did. He's a living Lord. He died in my place for my sins. By this good news, you are saved. If you hold firmly, take your stand, but hold on to this good news. Don't just drop out, you know, after a while. Don't just think, oh, okay, I believe that in my mind. Which, so what? You never say, so what, that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. You say, oh my, that's my salvation, what he did. When you stand before God, you know, the old timers used to say, what are you going to say before God? Great response is, your son died and rose for me. I trust him. You know. So that's the essence of God's salvation work. Here's some more. As of first importance, he delivered it right up front. They were to hold firmly to it. Christ died. It was our sins that put him on the cross. Someone said the only thing we contribute to our salvation is the scars in Jesus' hands and feet and sword in his side. That's what we contribute to our salvation. Okay, we say it was our sin. We take it, Jesus, please. And give us your forgiveness and righteousness. Give us you and a new life. He died for our sin. He was raised. He's a living Lord, and he appeared to me. So again, Paul's saying, he's my Lord, not just, you know, doing something in history over here. One thing God in this letter is trying to let us know for sure is you and I never graduate from the death and resurrection of Jesus. We never graduate from that. That's not like, you know, something you hear about in first, second, and third grade, and then you go on to more interesting spiritual things. Paul's saying, wait a minute. This is a good news. You received it. Stand on that. Hold firmly on that. Otherwise, you'll find yourself believing in vain. Ravi Zacharias says about the cross and resurrection, outside of the cross of Jesus, no hope for the world or for an individual. The cross and resurrection is at the core of the gospel. It was God's great work, his great love. And it's the only hope for humanity. So here's these Corinthians folks, you know, marriage troubles, worship troubles, lawsuit troubles, spiritual gifts, misunderstanding. He says, look at the Lord's love. Look at his great work for you. And if you put it two areas of interest over here. On the one area, we have the news of Jesus' death and that great love expressed while we were still sinners. And his resurrection, a living Savior. Here's on this side. And on this side, we have things like miracles. I like miracles. We have spiritual gifts. Everybody should have a couple, you know, spiritual gifts. And over here, wisdom. Aha. Uh-huh. Give me more information. Wisdom. This or this? What Jesus did, his death and resurrection, is far more important than these. Which so often Corinthian folks, they say, this is where it's at right here. No. The Lord's saying, my son is where it's at. You know what? His mission, his love, his death and resurrection, a living Savior. And so for daily growth, the death and resurrection of Jesus, hold firmly to him. Paul's preaching about this stuff 20 years after his conversion. You'd think he'd say, come on, do say something more important, Paul. You know, often we think that way. The death and resurrection of Jesus, it's not first base for the Christian. is first base, second base, third base, and home plate. Nobody gets home without that news and work. And we are simply distracted and going afoul with the foul ball sometimes if we do others. So here's Paul focusing on that good news for us. And again, say this, take him for yourself in the present troubles you're in. Remember, he says Jews demand miracles, Greeks seek wisdom. I want to know God better in his word. That's good. Oh, if I told somebody the other day, I would love to see a Bible miracle. You know what a Bible miracle is? That's when somebody is deathly sick right there, and instantaneously they walk out 100% better. That's what I call a Bible miracle. Okay. I'd love to see a Bible miracle. I think God does those. But that is not our foundation. That's not going to get us saved. Okay. That's going to point us to the goodness of Jesus and his cross. But he said, but we preach Christ crucified, which is foolishness. But he says, it's the power of God and the wisdom of God. Okay? As the choir begins to sing in the background and so forth. You know, some churches, in a good way, they have them when the preacher preaches the organs in the background. There you go. Vicky, you can start that. Christ crucified. He says in chapter 2, that was chapter 1, chapter 2, I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. To help, Paul wants to help us, you know. He's not just saying, hey, you're being spiritually whacked out. He's trying to help people. Chapter 3, they're interested in a variety of things. He says, hey, there's no foundation other than which is given, Jesus Christ. Stand on him. What a Savior. Chapter 5, he says, Christ was sacrificed for us. And this is to fight immorality. You know, he just doesn't say there's immorality out there, you know, hanky-panky and pornography and everything else, and, you know, stop that. Stop that. God says, thou shalt not, but he's saying Christ was sacrificed. That'll win your heart over. Love will be a great cure for immorality. Okay. And chapter 10, everybody drank from the same spirit. No, this is chapter 8. There's one Lord, Jesus Christ. Pointing the people to that. Chapter 10. All, emphasis on every Hebrew believer, drank from the same spiritual rock when God fed them. And that rock was Christ. Again, pointing to the health of people, daily health. If I don't have this water, I'm going to die. If there's one day in your Christian life, don't get legalistic on yourself, but if you start to live a trend without remembering Jesus died and rose for you, you'll flounder around. Might even sound like a, you know, real zealous Christian because you find your hobby horse or something. But the salvation, Jesus' love, life given and risen from the dead. And then even death itself, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's what the Lord means to you. You know, and his great accomplishment, his great work. I wanted to show you, now that was the Corinthians. The Galatians, they did the same thing, only they got into works, not so much wisdom, miracles, and what was the other one? Wisdom, miracles, and spiritual gifts. Thank you. Very good. So the Corinthians, they want to grow in their Christian life, so here's what they do. And this is a spiritual error. They say salvation is by Christ's work. We need him, what he did for us. But growth, that's all my works. That's what I do. Okay, it's my effort. It's my knowledge. It's my prayer life. It's my Bible study. It's how many kind acts of kindness I do. That's how I grow. And heaven, you know, we'll take Jesus for heaven too. I mean, not so flippant, but that's where they were. And the gospel, by contrast, teaches this. Salvation by Christ's work, his death and resurrection. And then to the Corinthians and Galatians, growth by Christ's work. Stay on the foundation of him. His work in you will help you grow. Work out your salvation. God is at work in you to work and to do according to his good purpose. And then heaven by Christ's work. You say, well, that seems to give a lot of credit to the Lord. Amen to that. Okay? And there's a safety in the truth of what Christ will do. And it produce such good work because you're co-laboring with the Lord then and not doing things on your own. Gospel reminds us that Jesus' obedience is credited to our heart. Right? It's credited to our heart. We're so glad. What an obedient Savior. He's teaching us along the way. And then some Christian brother said, oh my, you didn't really think you were going to grow as a Christian in the righteousness of God without the cross and resurrection, did you? You didn't really think you were going to grow as a Christian without his great work of salvation. Certainly, we need him. As much as people needed him at Calvary. John MacArthur tried to put it this way in the two items he set up. He said in the little chart, there was two great religions of the world. One was based on God's achievement, and one was based on man's achievement. And the gospel is God's achievement. And whether our lives are changed by him, it's Jesus. He died in our place, rose from the dead. Okay? God's achievement. And he's trustworthy. If we make it on our achievement, we'll try to control our level of growth. It's touchy. It gets into religion. I control how much I grow as a Christian. Not really. Okay. Instead of trying to control it, why don't you trust Christ for your growth? See, the Christian life is a matter of faith and trust. From there, strength happens. And to put it a more Bible-oriented way, now these two sentences. You'll either love them or go home and say, I don't know what that was about. But I think if you see your walk with God like this, it'll really help you based on Paul's reminder. Remember his reminder, not miracles, not wisdom, not spiritual gifts, but the gospel. That your level of sanctification, how much you're growing, is not your justification. That's not your salvation. You're not going to go to heaven and God says, let's see if you belong here. How much did you grow as a Christian? Oh, you grew great. You were a great grower, so come on and be with me. Or you hardly grew, you know. When somebody said open the Bible to Psalms, you didn't know what Psalms were. Get out. Okay? Your justification is not based on your sanctification. If it were, you would always ask yourself, am I doing enough? Did I grow enough? You trust trust the Lord for your growth. But what he did for you and I, your justification, Jesus' cross and resurrection, your trust in him, grows your level of becoming more Christ-like. You might say, well, it's just some big words there changed around in a sentence. But keep the good news the good news for you. Okay? Jesus would want that so much for your soul. And to do to others is very common, very easy to get into the air of the Galatians, the Corinthians. You know, and it's a heavy load, I'll say that. Because you're always checking yourself, am I growing enough? You know, God, he must not like me or love me. And I got to do more. I feel like I ought to pray more. I feel like I ought to read the Bible more. And instead of saying, hey, I get to do more. I get to follow, I get to trust Christ more. thankful and happy and excited about that. And that gospel makes an impact. Call a couple hymn writers to give testimony here. Here's Charles Wesley. He wrote 6,000 hymns. That's incredible. And these kind of praises have gone out for 250 years, so it has the momentum of history with it. What Jesus does for us, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. You don't get out of your prison yourself. All the addicts know that. You can't set yourself free as an addict. He has to set you free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avail for me. So whatever sin problem I had, it's like I cling to the cross. And Charles Wesley loved that thought. Another song, Amazing Love, How Can It Be? You, My God, Should Die For Me. Isaac Watts would give testimony. Fits in there with the death and resurrection of Jesus. When he surveyed the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. My richest gain I count but loss. And pour contempt on all my pride. This song really comes out of Galatians chapter 6, where Paul says, Lord forbid I boast in anything except the cross of Jesus. And that takes me from an interest in the world and the world's interest in me. Okay. I got to have a new life. I boast only in the Lord. Another verse says, forbid it, Lord, I should boast except in the death of Christ my God. Anything that charms me, I sacrifice to his blood. Put it under what Jesus did. And then this here, Fanny Crosby, happens to be the first three songs of our worship time. And it was providential. Fanny Crosby, most prolific praiser of the Lord, 8,000 songs. She was blind, but she saw much in her walk. Again, people singing these things for 100 years. Jesus, keep me near the cross there, a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. A glory in the cross, so your raptured soul can find rest. A healing stream, you know, look in the parts of my life where I'm broken, in pain, mostly spiritually, a lot physically. But how am I going to know help? Free to all. Free to all. I get to go and trust Christ. Thank you, Lord. No qualifications? Come. That's a qualification. Come to the Lord. Come to his cross. Robert Lowry wrote 500 songs. Here's his take on it. This is all my hope and peace. And this is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Again, the great work of Christ on our behalf. Again, who he is. Don't want to make it like a historical event. But the intervention of God in our lives while we were yet sinners. Philip Bliss, 24 songs in our hymn book. Guilty vow and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Well, you know what he was excited about. He was excited about Jesus. What he did for Philip Bliss, and that he was a risen Savior. Full atonement. The word atonement means to be at peace as one with God. Not one in terms of being part of a deity. I'm at peace with God. Full atonement. Can it be the gift of Jesus and his love? And it was a blessing to the Corinthians. The Lord's love, a blessing to you and me. Just applying it briefly to the problems of the Corinthians. Marriage, you know, instead of marriage being like, are you fulfilling me? You know, are you making me happy? I'm not happy with you. I'm not happy anymore. It's, hey, the love that you're there to serve and love the other person like Christ served and loved the church. Wow. I get it. That's strong love coming towards the spouse. So it addresses the marriage problems. It addresses the wisdom, seeking after wisdom. Paul had to say, wisdom is good. Christ is the wisdom of God. Can't get anybody more brilliant than him. Right? Christ, the wisdom of God. And then the spiritual gifts, all the gifts reflecting the great gift giver and used for the benefit of others. And as you, a dear Christian, I just offer you the good news that Paul and the Lord gave the Corinthians. Hey, stand on Jesus. Stand on his death, risen. Put your trust in him. And a foundation that won't shake. Others will shake and come and go. You know, even the works of God in history, there'll be a variety. But the great cross towering over the wrecks of time on your behalf, the love of the Lord toward you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your good news. We seem to focus in on the work of salvation a lot more around this time of year. And we know that's a blessing, but it's daily to hear the good news that Christ died for us. That's where we stand. We hold firmly, and this provides great health that other good needed parts of the Christian life simply are not the foundation. So give us that foundational love. Help us to know this is real love. Even not our fondness or love for you, but your love when you sent your son to satisfy God's anger against us. And so give us that sense of being at one with you through Jesus alone. Give peace to each one here. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you please?